Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Hi. In this video, I'm going to share with you my 11 takeaways from my recent journey to Everest, where I did an 11-day plan trek to the Everest Base Camp with two dear friends of mine. For those of you who don't know about Everest, it's the tallest mountain in the world, and Base Camp is a location near the mountain where people travel to act before they go up to the top of Everest Base Camp. So we did not go up to the top of Everest Base Camp. That was not the trip. But we did do a trip, an 11-day planned journey, get up to the base camp, which itself is actually very high. It's at 17,598 feet. That's 5,354 meters above sea level, which is very high, especially for those of us who are coming up from sea level. So we did this trek. I did this with two good friends of mine, Brunson Hill and Bryce Posey. And one of my greatest takeaways, first and foremost, was reminding me that life is a team sport. Definitely could not have done this alone, for sure. My late mentor, Vernon Labia, he often said, say life's a team sport. None of us are doing this alone. And this is a great reminder of that. Massive thanks to my two fellow trekkers, as well as our guide, CB, and the two porters that came along that helped us make the lift from Lukla up to Everest Base Camp. Number two takeaway, it's a follow along from one, this idea that leadership matters. This idea that in order to achieve something in life, it's helpful and valuable to find someone who's already done it and learn from them in order to get the same thing. So I'm really grateful in this case that we had a guide, CD, a gentleman in his early 50s who had taken many groups of people to the Everest Base Camp back over the years. He leads several treks per year, very seasoned, very fast. And because of him, we were able to have a great plan, a route to get up there. We did not overexert ourselves, which would have been our likely situation because the three of us were all fairly athletic guys and we wanted to see how we could do it. And thankfully, our guide educated us on how to do it intelligently and how to rest properly. And I'm very grateful for that. So the reminder that, hey, we got to have a guide, got to have a leader, got to have a mentor to achieve a goal that I hadn't done. Third takeaway, reminder is a notion of this supply and demand factor of economics. As you can imagine, going up the trek, this mountain, there's these tea houses along the way, kind of these stations, these towns that you can stop at for food, supplies, this sort of thing. And I noticed that when we started the trek, a bottle of water was about 50 cents roughly. And as we continued up the trek and we went tea house to tea house, the supply started getting more expensive. The bottles of water went from 50 cents to $1, so $2 and $3 for, I think, about a bottle of water for as much as $5 when we were just at the Everest Base Camp. And if I wanted some hot water, that was even more. I think that was like $6 or $7 to get a liter of hot water. But things became very difficult to get access to because they had to move supplies up the mountain. And then when we were here at the mountain, obviously things were a little more costly to get. So it was a good reminder of this notion of real world supply and demand, which was a great takeaway. Number four, this notion of consistency versus sprinting. Thankfully, again, our guide moved us at a fairly consistent pace where we got up each day and we started moving between 6 or 7 in the morning, roughly. And we would move for anywhere between 6 to maybe 7 hours each day, roughly 200 to 300 meters of altitude increase. And we do that very consistently. We'd have lunch and then we would have more or less rest around 2 to 3 p.m. We'd get to our destination. We would rest for the remainder of the day before dinner and then getting some sleep before the next night. And there were definitely occasions where we wanted to sprint. We wanted to keep going, keep pushing. And our guide highly recommended that we didn't and that we would get proper acclimation. And that was very smart of him to do. Really great for that notion. I'm also reminded of a recent story I read of the 1911 expedition to the South Pole, which is a great read. I highly recommend. I'll include a link here to the full story that you can check out. But essentially, there were two explorers that were racing. One was a British explorer by the name of Scott. The other one was a Norwegian explorer by the name of Amundsen. And they were both going for the South Pole. And there's a lot to this story, so it's not overly simplified here. I would recommend you reading it. But at the end of the day, the Norwegian team, part of their core strategy was to move consistently each day, roughly 15 miles, and then rest on average 16 hours per day. And they would move regardless of the conditions. And where the British team, they waited for more optimal conditions before they moved. They were also a larger team, so there's other factors here. And then when they would move, they would push as hard as they could, sometimes 30 miles or more in a day, which often left them too exhausted to move the next day. So there's more factors to the story than just this, but I thought it was a great association or reminder of this notion of consistency and moving consistently each day versus trying to sprint, and how that works out when it comes to a longer trek, a marathon per se. I highly recommend the read. Check it out. It's here along with the video. Takeaway number 5, this idea of essentialism, the disciplined pursuit of less. As I worked my way up the trek, I started to notice and realize that about 20% of the things I brought with me, I used 80% of the time. Bradshaw's principle, this notion of the 80-20 rule. And the 80% of things I brought with me that I was partly using or using 20% of the time, I noticed it was cumbersome. It became heavy. Like, I was carrying a laptop on my back in a backpack. And even though it only weighed a couple pounds, it started to add up, that weight on the shoulders as they went up in altitude, all the steps. And it was a good reminder that, hey, anything that I carry with me that is extra weight that I don't use, that doesn't have utility, at the end of the day, it becomes much heavier. And it's just a good reminder of that, the fact that I actually don't need a whole lot in life. I just need a few things that I use the majority of the time, and really taking a look at examining my life, or what is that 20% of things that I use that give me 80% of the results, or I use 80% of the time, and really getting rid of the other stuff, or stop doing some of the other things for that matter. Takeaway number 6, this idea of starting with the end in mind, but only focusing on the very next step. We started with the goal, hey, we wanted to get to Everest Base Camp, but this is a little magnet I took away, a little souvenir. But I wasn't looking up at, or looking at how far away it was, or looking up to see how high we were going. In fact, most days I would focus primarily on literally keeping my eyes on my feet and taking the next step, maybe glancing up to make sure I didn't run into anything. But I would just take one deep breath and take one step consistently over and over again for hours on end. And mantra was one step and one breath, and just consistently taking that next step and just trusting that the following step will reveal itself. And eventually I would just stop having to take steps. In fact, I remember the moment I got to base camp, and I was so focused on taking steps that I didn't really realize it until I just basically ran into my friend who was in front of me. I looked up, and there it was. We were at base camp, and I looked up, and all of a sudden, it's just like this massive relief came through, and it's the joy, these tears of gratitude for having reached it. But I was so focused on taking that next step that I wasn't looking up. I wasn't focused on that, and then it just hit me all at once that we had made it. My next takeaway is this idea. So takeaway number 7, that not everybody makes it to the base camp, but that's okay. In fact, I had a really cool conversation with a gentleman at one of the tea houses. He was about 70 years old. He was there with his 2 daughters, and he had grown up a huge fan of Everest. He read books on it. He watched movies. And because of that, his daughters decided to go on a family trip and take him on a trek to Everest base camp. And he was confiding in me. He said, my friends back home, they think I'm crazy. They think I'm going to die up here. And I don't know if I'm going to make it to the base camp. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know what? Your friends back home, their opinion don't matter. It doesn't matter. You're the one that fear. You're the one that's putting in the effort. And it doesn't matter whether or not you make it to base camp. What matters is that you're giving it your best. And I was reminded of the quote from a speech from Theodore Roosevelt called Man in the Arena. It's now known as Man in the Arena. Its notion is, it's not the critic who counts, not the person who points out how this strong man stumbles or how the doer he could have done them better. The credit belongs to the person who's actually in the arena, who's actually putting in the effort, who's sweating, who's bleeding through. Even if he doesn't succeed, at least he failed while daring down, so that his soul is never along with those cold and timid souls that knew neither victory or defeat. I'm paraphrasing it here, but I highly recommend, this is one of my favorite quotes in the world. I recommend, I'll include a link to it here if you want to click it and read the whole speech. It's a powerful thought. It was a good reminder that, hey, it's not the destination, rather the journey we get to be along the way. Takeaway number 8, it's my responsibility to create and generate fun along the way and to generate value along the way. Thankfully, I was with 2 really awesome friends, and along the way, we were proactive about mastermind, right? We were all entrepreneurs of business experience. We said, okay, let's share our experiences when it comes to certain elements of life. We would have days we talk about money, days we talk about relationships, days we talk about other personal challenges. But we generated value as we went. And it was a good reminder of, hey, regardless of the situation, it's my responsibility to make it fun. It's my responsibility to generate value for myself. Reminder and takeaway number 7, appreciate the small and the simple things along the way. As we went along this journey, little things became much more enjoyable. Simple things in life, like a warm bottle of water. There was a hot shower along the way. We didn't have them most of the way, but we did have an opportunity to take a hot shower. And Man, that was remarkable. Four meal, a bed, just very simple things. That was a good reminder that, hey, I don't need a whole lot in life to be happy. In fact, the more comfortable I am, the less happy I tend to be, is what I realized. And being in that discomfort or that challenge actually brought a significant amount of fulfillment. There's a great book that I've heard about. I haven't read it myself, this notion of the comfort crisis, how much we actually need challenge or discomfort for us to grow as human beings, both physically as well as spiritually. Takeaway number 10, this reminder that I have no real problems. My problems are first world problems, and by and large, they're not real problems. The majority of the world lives off of less than $3 a day. And being there on a call, being there on the Breakfast at a Space Camp, I got to see that. It's a third world country. They don't have as many resources as we do in the United States and other first world countries. And the work there is difficult. There are a lot of men carrying and hauling heavy loads up on their backs, up the hills. One guy walked by, he was carrying a refrigerator on his back. Some people barefoot, other people in sandals for hours on end, days on end. And I think the average wage there is something along the ballpark. I think a few hundred dollars a month is like the average wage, or $3 a day is what most of the world lives off of. So it was a good reminder of the fact that most of my problems are not real problems. Hey, when I'm on a mountain and I'm struggling to breathe oxygen and it's cold out, and those are somewhat real problems. Most of my problems are not real problems. So good perspective in that sense. And last but not least, takeaway number 11, the importance of rest, remembering to rest. And I have so many friends that are go-getter entrepreneurs who run companies, who are very successful. And oftentimes I see them living life on hard mode, drinking lots of coffee, lots of energy drinks, sleeping very little, pushing very hard. And it was a good reminder on this trek that, hey, that you got to rest. I had to rest on this trek. In fact, I was intentional about resting as much as I possibly could because I knew how much it was needed. As soon as I could, I would try to lay down and get some rest, or once we got to the tea houses. And even when we got back down, I needed a full day of recovery. And we got back home, all three of us got a little sick and we all ended up having to rest for days on end. But just a good reminder, sharpen the saw so that I don't get sick and I can continue to move forward. Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 7, sharpen the saw. If you found the takeaways to be helpful, please go ahead and share this video, this content with someone else. And also be sure to like and comment here as well. Let me know what you found helpful, valuable, or insightful. I appreciate your comments and look forward to connecting with you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.